The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. God, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome back once again, everybody. I thought I would tell you once again about the first reading because it tells the story of the magnificent speech of St. Paul to the Areopagus in Athens. And it's been a few years since I told you about this. The reason why this is so valuable is because it's really similar circumstances, what Paul faces in Athens to what we face in our own world today. It gives us some really great insights as to how to share the gospel with a skeptical world, or a skeptical family, or skeptical friends, as the case may be. So Paul comes down to Athens from the north of Greece. He was in Philippi, he was in Thessalonica, he was in a little town called Berea, where he had to flee for his life, and Paul comes on down to the city of Athens, where the first thing Paul does, he goes to the center of town, a place called the Areopagus. Okay, now the Areopagus literally means Hill of Ares. Ares was the god of war. And it was kind of like a religious supermarket, because there were temples to all these gods. There was a temple to Zeus the Olympian, and there was a temple to Athena Nike, which comes down to us in our language as Nike, right? Nike is just the Greek word for victory. So an enterprising shoe company decided to name their shoe. But it was the temple to Athena Nike, and also the Parthenon, the famous Parthenon, the Acropolis in Athens. And all over the place were all these temples. And one of them, as the scripture reading tells us, was a temple to an unknown god. And so that's where Paul goes to launch his speech. There's an interesting story behind the temple to an unknown god, because back along the 6th century BC, there was a terrible plague in the city of Athens. And from the island of Crete came a man named Euripides, who counseled them on how to deal with the plague, and the plague lifted. But before anybody could acknowledge him or give him gratitude, he disappeared just as mysteriously as he arrived. And so the Athenians began to believe that whatever god Euripides worshipped must be the real god. And so they made an altar, but they didn't know what to call it. So they called it the altar to the unknown god. And Paul uses this as his launching point to lead the people to Christ. There's a lot of similarities between the Athenians and ourselves. The Athenians had altars to all these different gods, and yet in spite of all their pantheon of gods, they knew something was missing. There was an unknown that they wanted to account for. And similarly in our world, we have many, many false gods. Understand the word god, small g, to refer to anything at all in your life that you look to for your fulfillment. Like people look to money, or politics, or entertainment, or sports. Next time you're at one of these sports hall of fames, just remember somebody once told you, it's a little pantheon to a number of gods. It's incredible, right? Anything, and yet we know that something's missing. There's something unknown, and people can't quite put their finger on it, right? To quote that great philosopher Paul Simon, "I'm empty and I'm aching and I don't know why." Very true. We want more than this world has to offer. And if you found the unknown, and you know him to be Jesus Christ, you can't keep him to yourself. You just want to proclaim his name. And yet when you do, you find that people just don't care. And it's so frustrating, and they turn you off. Well, this is where Paul has a few things to teach us in the way he spoke to the Athenians at the Areopagus. Three lessons in particular. Lesson number one is acknowledge whatever good you see. So Paul shows up at the Areopagus, and he looks around at all these temples, to all these gods, and he says, "People of Athens, I see that in many respects you are very religious." He acknowledges the good that he sees. Note the first words out of his mouth are not, "People of Athens, tear down all these temples. They're all false gods." No. We have to remember this. The human heart naturally yearns for what's good and can do no other than yearn for what's good. And so what do you hear from people rank and file? What do they yearn for? Equality and justice and fairness? Nothing wrong with that. Acknowledge what's good and use that as your first place to build, because heck, leading people to the true God leaves nothing to be desired. That's what St. Paul does. Second thing St. Paul does, he tries to meet them where they are. Notice he gives this perfectly reasoned, logical, three-step speech to the people of Athens. Athens was the center of logic and learning and reason and debate. So that's the kind of speech Paul gives to Athens. Very different from the speeches he gives to other people in other places. Read St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, and you'll see Paul go off on an emotional rant. But they say that when you try to evangelize, they say there's two kinds of people out there. They say there's head people and heart people. And not that one is exclusively one or the other, but some people, they first want to know the reasons. Try to meet them where they are. Other people are heart people. They first want to sort of feel something emotionally. We too can meet them where they are. It's the next step in evangelizing. And then there's the last step in evangelizing, which is the most important one of all, and that is you have to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And when this happens, you should expect to have lots of people turn you off, and that's okay. Sometimes, in our work of evangelizing, we can be so concerned about acknowledging the good and meeting people where they are that we never get around to the point, which is leading people to a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. That's because we know almost instinctively that when we do, some people, they're just going to flip us off or turn the channel or ignore us or whatever it might be. That's okay. When you proclaim Jesus Christ, you're asking people to change their mind and change their behavior, and we're asking a tremendous amount. And some people just aren't going to be ready for that. You know, if all we had to proclaim in the Catholic faith was our culture, that would be easy, wouldn't it? Imagine if all we had to do in our Catholic faith was proclaim the beauty of stained glass or polyphonic music or sacred architecture. Oh, they'd welcome us with open arms, right? But be ready for people to turn you off, right? Turn the channel, so to speak. It's okay. Sometimes people just need time. Athens came around. Not at the preaching of St. Paul. They needed a little bit more time to adjust to the full demands of the message of the gospel. Like Jesus said to his apostles, "I have so much more to tell you. It's just that you cannot bear it now." So if we focus on our faithfulness, as Mother Teresa once famously said, and not on our success, we can do quite well. Three lessons from St. Paul today. Acknowledge the good, meet them where they are, and don't be afraid to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Be a more greater success than we know, and we can be God's hands and feet in the world today. We'll ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Bernardine of Siena, pray for us.